Hello there, today we're going to be looking at DK Sonar. Dara O'Haley is my name. Well, welcome in. As I said in the start of the recording, my name is Darrell Haley. I'm recording from Ireland. This is the Case Owner, as obtained by DD Aware in England. Thank you very much, by the way, to the people there. And, well, I just said I'd give you a quick demonstration of it. Now, this is not going to teach you how to use it. I just wanted to show why I like it, why I think others may like it. And just give you a bit of an idea of what it does. Basically, you hold it in your hand, as I'm doing now. It easily fits in your hand. And you can use it to detect obstacles further away than your cane can reach, or even you can reach. Unless you have really, really long arms. So, not only will it detect them, if you get used to this device, which I have to say I'm not just yet, I've only got it for a few hours, but anyway, if you get used to this device, not only can you detect the objects or components of the environment around you, you can also determine what they are. So you can determine that, okay, that's actually soft, that feels like a chair, or here, sounds like a chair. When I move this case owner up and down, I can see that the edge of that object is actually very small. I would say that's the table I'm looking for. Okay, let's walk towards there. You can even detect that things have a rough edge or a smooth edge. You can detect steps when you get used to this. You can detect that there is a brush handle, and I use that example because it's used regularly in the DVD that comes accompanying this, or that came certainly in the pack that I was sent. You can detect that that's a brush handle that's in your path, therefore, you know, obviously you need to either pick it up or step over it. So it's in my hand here at the moment. I'm just going to turn on the mixer. There we go. Now I'm going to turn this on. So the first thing you're going to hear is the long mode. It's a 2 meter mode, okay? So I'm just going to use my hand at the start to show you the different tones that it will provide you with. Okay, my hand is about half a meter away from this. Bring it down. Bring it back up again. So the closer you get to the device, the lower the tone becomes. Now you can hear a tone in the background there still. I want you to picture that tone as a wave, starting off high and coming back low again. The snappier, or the more definitive the peak of that wave is, in my experience and from what I can gather, the more solid the device, or the not solid the device, but solid the object is, okay? The more, well, I'll explain this as I go along, okay? So if you hear a peak like this, then you know it is a very solid object, okay? Because you're getting that snappy sound. Now, that is the curtain covering a window, okay? You can hear that there's a bit of muffling in there. There is a snappiness to it, so it's probably slightly penetrating that curtain. It's a light curtain and hitting the window, but it is muffled. If I just turn this off for one moment. Okay. I'm just going to open that. Point it at the same window. Much different, isn't it? Now I turn it off again. Excuse me. As I said on this website at the start, I didn't give you the website address yet, but I will. All these recordings are informal, usually. They take the format of, I will say things as I think of them, and if I don't think of them, well, then I'm very sorry. As you heard there, anyway, when I opened that curtain, the sound was much more solid, and it almost sounds metallic. So, by metallic, I mean, you know, hard, smooth, like a metal surface. Now, I know that was glass, but glass is similar in texture almost to metal surfaces. It's smooth, it's hard, so you're going to get that same kind of texture from it. Now, I say textures. In this, the important thing to remember is you're almost building up audible textures. Just like somebody who has high sensitivity would say that scraping two pieces of metal together would have a texture of, or have a cold texture or something like that. I don't know, I'm just guessing here. Okay, turning back on again. Now, let's just scan this room. This is a small enough room, but it's perfect for the stuff I'm doing, which is generally sitting on a computer. Okay. I am now facing that at a concrete wall, or a brick wall. Moving into the corner so you can hear. That's about a meter and a half or so away. Corner is more, it's about 2 meters away. Moving into towards the curtain that I spoke to you about there a moment ago. Now, personally, I don't understand why that wall gives such a high tone off it, but it does. That's only an internal wall. And that's the same, that's an internal wall as well. Okay, now, if I move here, I have a few laptop cases and stuff over in this corner. I actually don't. I covered them with a bag that I bought in when I was coming back from work that has a load of CDs in it. So give me 1 second and I'll grab that laptop case. Told you. Ad hoc and gonna as it comes, really. Now, there is a reason why I wanted to use the laptop case in particular. It's because it's another soft texture. And it's important to show, in my opinion anyway, that this is so accurate that you do begin to recognize different textures and different surfaces. That's a radiator, actually. That's the curtain. That's the brick wall. That's the internal wall. That's the ceiling, actually, and that gives off a very loud noise. I made the analogy to somebody in work today that it's similar to knocking on an object virtually. You get a type of a feedback sound. So I'm knocking on the surface of the desk. It's like getting that kind of response back from the case owner. It's like it's going off and knocking on the object. And you're getting a different sound for each knock. Which is possibly why it's giving me more of a shrill response or shrill tone for internal walls, because they'd be more hollow, whereas external walls, you knock on it and it's a very dead sound. So, yeah, that could be a reason too. So, that was the long range. What we can do here is we can also turn it to short range. I've done that now. Okay, so you can hear the short range. The tones are much less spaced. They're much more rapid. Okay, and just like the last time, this is a 1 meter range. So just like the last time, there's my hand. Tone is getting lower and lower and lower as I bring it closer. Bring it back away again. Okay. Now, if I'm scanning the room again, I'm obviously going to get less from certain walls because they're further away than 1 meter. Okay. I remember at the start of the recording, I said if you're looking for a table and you find an object that if you scan or pan the device up and down, you'll get this sound. Okay, that is basically showing you that you have an object here that has a very thin rim to it. So, simply by stopping at that thin sound, you can very easily orientate yourself in that room to that object that you're walking towards, you want to walk towards. Very useful in an office environment when you're not entirely sure where exactly their workspace is that you need to go and look at. Which, believe me, happens quite a lot. So, same again, if you were looking at a soft surface, the carpet in this room is quite soft, so I'm going to look at that there. Okay. Not a very muffled sound, but muffled enough. Certainly more muffled than the wall. Okay, my shoe is on the ground, with my foot in it. So, can you recognize that? As the case owner is panned across my shoe, the tone will get slightly lower, as in lower in tone, not lower in volume, because the surface of the shoe is closer to the sensor of the case owner, and now the surface of the sore is further away. So the further an object gets, the higher the tone. Now listen to that there. Can you hear almost two tones? Or not two tones, but two clicks at the top of that wave. So you're getting two clicks, really. That is because I'm at the outer limit of that shoe. And that is basically how... Now, it does say concentration, and I haven't built up that level of concentration on this device or for this device yet. But that is basically what is required if you're going to detect objects. Sorry, excuse me. I meant to mute the other thing and then mute the... never mind. So, that is basically what you'll need to do if you're to avoid what he was talking about, which is the brush handle, or broom handle, depending on where in the world you are, which was on the ground. Now, he did it quite slowly, and he was saying in that recording on the DVD that you would actually build a proficiency and do that much faster. It is really about training your own brain to do it. That is all I'm going to show you for the moment. There are other recordings out there, and when you purchase the device, if you do purchase it, which I would strongly advise anybody to do, I do think it's a very useful tool to have in your mobility arsenal. Even if you have a dog or a cane. I have a dog at the moment, and will continue to do so. I'll have one, hopefully. But I do find it very useful, even with the dog. For example, today I had to get a new watch battery. Now, even without being able to recognize all of the objects in my environment, as in what they are, or if they're rough, smooth, or what kind of texture they are, even recognizing that they're there is still quite useful. So, I was told by an office colleague that it was the first shop entrance on the right-hand side. Now, ordinarily, you can just tell your dog, find the door, and basically point to your right. And the dog will do as it's told and find the doorway on your right-hand side. However, if the doorway is hard to distinguish for the dog, for any particular reason, then the dog may not do it for you. So, just for a test today, I walked down that road that I wasn't very familiar with, and found the shop that I was looking for to get the battery in my watch changed by using the case owner and panning it slightly to my right. And remember, I've only had the device for a few hours at this stage. Panning it slightly to my right and finding the change in tone for, or that would signify a door. And again, even I could move that device slightly up and down to find the door handle, which is very cool, I must say. For example, I'll show you here now. I have a door here, and I'm just going to move the device up and down, and you'll hear a slight change. I don't know if you can hear that. It is quite hidden, but it was almost like it. If you think of the sounds that it reminds me of is, you know, if you're swinging a rope in the air, you'll hear a kind of a whooshing sound. If you're panning or scanning the case owner across a device that has a door handle, you'll hear a very small sound of that whooshing sound, or a small part of that whooshing sound. And basically you stop the panning just when you hear that whooshing sound, and then just walk towards it. Now for a door handle, you obviously want to put your hand out and you know, aim for it, but the case owner allows you to find it without actually feeling around the door, which is quite handy. Not absolutely vital, but it is quite handy to be able to do that. So that is it in a nutshell. I hope you found that interesting. The website address for this and any other, well, many other recordings is www.lalrecordings.com. That's www.lalrecordings.com. LAL stands for Listen and Learn. My website address is www.digitaldara.com. And the email address for myself for any comments, questions, feedback, or anything like that, keep the death threats to a minimum, please. It's d@digitaldara, d@digitaldarragh.com. d@digitaldara.com. Well, I must say, I've enjoyed playing with this, and I'm going to continue enjoying playing with it. And I hope if you get the opportunity to play with it too. So, until next time.